Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we believe that finances shouldn't be confusing. You don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, founder of Crystal Clear Finances, and I am joined by my co-host, George Amador III. Hey, G, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for being here. I love it.
So this week was a pretty fun week. I mean, we got to interview Tony Parrish from Alpha Star Capital Management.
Yeah, awesome time.
So, and a lot of times people don't understand who Alpha Star Capital Management is, but we have a compliance department and investment team that works with us here at Crystal Clear Finances. So having him on board on Wednesday and being able to go through his thought process about, you know, investing was a really good time. So I thought today what we'll do, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about their investment thought process. Then we're going to talk about our investment thought process, make sure they both gel together, which we know they do. And then we're going to dive in a little bit about misconceptions people have when it comes to investing. You know, we've been doing these series. We've been talking about savings, and now we're diving into investments. And I really want to take actually the next 5 weeks to really dive in and go through about understanding what you own and why you own it and our role in it, how we help guide people, how we help them get that confidence that we're so famous for. But let's just kind of back it down a little bit and let's talk about our thought process when it comes to investing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the world of investments is the most broad, I think, of any financial topic, right? And there's millions of different investments out there. There's millions of different accounts out there. And when someone says financial planning or investment advisor, it's instantly investments, right? It's instantly, okay, stock market.
Like we
market.
Do nothing else.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think what's really important is when we talk about our role and we talk about our philosophy, we talk really about the fact that we are planners too, right? And the idea is, and I would say first and foremost, we're planners, right? As a certified financial planner, both you and myself really take the role of a quarterback, right, in the relationship, where a lot of times when I am talking to a client or even other colleagues in the industry about a situation where we're going to get ready to implement investments, I'm kind of quarterbacking that conversation, meaning, hey, this type of account works or these types of investments work. And so it's not just, let me pick the best stock for you today. That's not the case, right? We're going to do holistic planning, and investments is a big part of that.
And, you know, I just want to jump on that because I've heard people talk about the flavor of the week. I'm a big ice cream eater. But there's also flavor of the week when it comes to stocks and things that a lot of financial planners will push. I don't even want to call them financial planners. Financial people will push, and that's not what we do. We really sit down. And over the next 5 weeks, we're really going to dive into why someone would even want to have a financial planner. How does that help in the investment realm? But I want to talk a little bit about our belief system, our philosophy, because I believe that the way that you think about something, the way that you believe, that drives your actions. And you and I both know, G, that when we're looking at people's portfolio, when we're looking to see what they're doing with their money, I'm thinking, why are they doing that? And the only thing I can think of is that they're believing the wrong things. And so out of the goodness of their heart, they're doing what they think is the right thing. And many times it's not. So let's talk about our thought process. You know, the PEM. Walk through the PEM with me.
PEM stands for a personal economic model, right? And everybody has one. And so when you take a look specifically at the world of financial planning, there's three main components to the financial plan, right? You really have savings, investments, and protection. And so when you look at those things, and those are familiar, you hear the green tank, the yellow tank, you hear these things a lot, and so that's exactly what they are. And really what the core components of a financial plan are is first the green tank, the savings component. This is money that is accessible to you, that is growing tax-free, that is there when you need it, that is growing with compound interest. But really, it's that accessible component. It's that savings piece that we need, again, more than just the emergency fund at the bank or more than just the cash under your mattress. Hopefully, there's not a lot there.
We're working on that with people.
At the end of the day, this is money that, again, safe, accessible, and you can use it tax-free when you need it. That's the green tank. That's part number one. Part number two, we're going to talk about this series, is investments, is the yellow tank. This has risk involved, however, and so this is money that is designed to drive investment, designed to drive capital appreciation or growth. Right? We want to have that in our investment portfolio or our financial plan, but this is money that does have risk. So it could go up, it could go down.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's not as accessible, but it doesn't necessarily need to be that accessible because this is for more long-term investments. This is more for a long-term goal that you have where you're going to access this money maybe later in life. Mm-hmm. And now we can set a plan in place where we're actually investing this money now for you later in the future. And hopefully it's a lot more.
Right.
That's the investment piece. And then lastly is protection, right? So when we look at any sort of financial plan, you have to protect it, right? Because mm-hmm. just like you have to protect your home when you mm-hmm. buy a home, your car when you drive
Good
a car,
point.
You have to protect your life
mm-hmm.
and that you are your biggest asset. Your
yes.
ability to produce income is super important, and that's something we don't want to leave neglected. And so protection matters because as we put together savings, as we put together investments, we know that God forbid something happens, we have everything we need in place, and protection allows us to do that.
Perfect. Great way of explaining what we believe in. And I made a couple notes while you were talking
yeah.
because we talked about the PEM, the personal economic model. And one of the things here is that most people don't realize they have one.
Yeah.
And if you don't realize that you don't, that you have one, then most people will end up living paycheck to paycheck. Mm. It is that critical. The day that you finally recognize and say, oh my gosh, this is how money works, you will change your life.
Yeah.
Gee, someone listening today, we're changing their life because they're saying, oh, you mean it can be broken down into savings, investments, and protection?
Mm.
And you're gonna spend the time to walk through each part?
Yeah.
You bet we are. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So now when we know those three parts, two of the beliefs that we have is that we do believe, at least I do, and I think you do, mm-hmm. is that we believe that taxes are probably always going to increase.
Yep.
And knowing that, that actually influences the way we give advice in the safe money,
mm-hmm.
but it also influences the way we give guidance in the yellow tank, in the investment realm.
Yes.
And I believe we're going to tackle that next week.
Yep.
But that component of just knowing, hey, I think taxes. I mean, look what's happened this year.
Yeah.
Don't you think with all the money that was given out there, all the unemployment, not saying that it was bad,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just saying a lot of money went out there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to step up to the plate and pay that. We've got to know that we're positioning things correctly so that we're paying as little amount of tax as possible.
Absolutely.
The other area that we believe, and I think this is so important when it comes to investments, is that the market will always be volatile.
Yes.
Hashtag shocker. I mean, really, that's what it's for. But we have to think about this. It's actually in times of volatility, G, that growth happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about relationships. When you have these fights and everything that happens and nobody likes them, at least I don't like confrontation. But when you have it, when you're done, you're like, eh. We're actually closer. We're actually better because we went full circle.
Yeah.
The same thing happens with the investments. If you don't get out of that confrontational process and say, oh, I'm just going to move to cash, but if you follow it full circle in the market, 9 times out of 10, they're going to prosper because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn that volatility, it's actually a good thing if we're positioned properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I believe with our personal economic model, having those three pieces, we can be volatile in the yellow tank because we already got some safe money at home doing its job.
Correct.
You know, the whole goal of all of this, you know, putting together savings, investments, and protection, of believing that, hey, we got a plan for taxes and we're okay with volatility, is we want to get people to that ideal position, the number one position where they have enough resources put away that they can retire
mm-hmm.
at the same lifestyle that they have today, even adjusted for inflation.
Yes.
And we see that a lot where people will say, yep, I can retire. I ran the numbers. And we always ask, did you include inflation in that? And they're like, and I'll be back to you. So we want to make sure that they're positioned correctly the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe our philosophy, now that you know how we put the pieces together, talk to us a little bit about your philosophy when it comes specifically, G, to the yellow tank, to investments. How do you think about that? Day trading? Like, I won't even lead you down the path. Just tell me what you think.
Sure, absolutely. So the biggest thing is now that we have investments as a component to the plan, and that's a big piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if investments is your entire financial plan,
mm-hmm.
your philosophy will have to change. And if your investments isn't part of a financial plan, your philosophy will change. So investments is a part of the financial plan. And because it is a part of the financial plan, now we can actually look and strategize, I believe, the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the yellow tank, when we look at money, that is designed again for growth, This is money that you're putting into the stock market, the bond market. You're buying stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, whatever. The philosophy is really a long-term buy, hold, and rebalance approach. And what I mean by that is we know that over the long haul, when you look at a stock market chart, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, the stock market in that period of time always goes up from point A to point B. Point B is the higher point after 15 or 20 years. Now, there might have been a roller coaster ride in there.
Yeah.
However, we do know that over that period of time, though, it goes up. And the reason why that's important is because if I'm going to put money aside into an investment account, a brokerage account, a 401k, an IRA, whatever it is, I know that if I know that over the long term it's always going to increase, then I need to make sure that I'm purchasing solid investments, solid funds, companies, whatever, that I'm going to hold for that period of time. You know, I think of really good stock pickers in the world that are paid to just do that all day long. A lot of those guys are picking stocks that they want to hold for a very long period of time, sometimes over the course of their entire life.
Right.
The reason being is because, again, the market always goes up over a long time. So we have to make sure that if we're going to buy, hold, and rebalance, then now I'm picking investments that I have strong conviction in. I'm holding those investments for a long period of time. Again, a couple of years plus. And periodically, when necessary, I'm going to rebalance.
Right.
Now, rebalance doesn't mean I'm going to go buy and sell all the time. In fact, it doesn't mean that. Usually what it means is maybe after the course of a year, 6 months or every 2 years, just depends on your time horizon, I'm going to go look for the winners. I'm going to go look for the losers. And I'm going to go sell those winners and capitalize on some gains if we can. And I'm going to reinvest in some of the losers. Now, I know when I say that, it kind of sounds like, well, what are you talking about?
Right.
Why would you buy losers? But remember, the market does go up over time. And so when we look at this, we have to say, okay, what stocks are doing well?
Mm-hmm.
What stocks aren't doing well? And let's rebalance back to that place that I was confident in day one. And as we gather more information and know where things are going, I can use that buy, hold, and rebalance approach across the board on my investments.
All right. I want to speak into that. But first, we're going to take a quick 60-second break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Because I think some people may think what you just said was, you're not going to pay attention to anything that's going on in the market. You got your fingers in your ears, la, 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 la. But the truth of the matter is, that's smart investing. And we'll be back with just 60 seconds.
Although our nation is going back to work and the market is responding, how do you personally build your business, recover your investments, and restore positive cash flow? Evaluating the financial impact of COVID with a certified financial planner from Crystal Clear Finances can help identify strengths and recognize stress fractures within your financial plan. These critical insights can provide guidance, and with the right adjustments, you can confidently experience personal financial recovery. Call Crystal Clear Finances at 518-433-7181 and experience confidence for every financial decision.
And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon. I am excited to be here. I'm here with George Amador III. Gee, I'm glad that we're talking about investments today.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the break, you probably just laid a bomb on everyone to say, hey, take a deep breath, and it's okay to think long-term, buy and hold, and that sometimes we even invest in things that are down. So I want to talk about this. So first of all, you made a couple comments. So for compliance purposes, I just want to say this to all my compliance people out there. We cannot guarantee that the market will go up over time. I know we can't point to the history that has always shown it in the past because we can't guarantee that that will happen in the future. But most likely, when we're looking at it, we want to say, well, what has been the pattern? So we do look at the patterns.
Yeah.
And I like the thought process when you say, you know what, we're supposed to as financial planners sell high, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we buy when it's low.
Yeah.
So when you're buying low into something which someone would call a loser stock or something that's just not doing good,
yeah,
one of the things that they have to understand is that we're looking to see, is this a quality company?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think many of us could go back to the beginning of this year, G, and begin to say, hey, were there any good companies that were low this year? Yeah, whole bunch of them.
A lot.
Yeah. What a great time to buy those quote unquote losers.
Yeah.
Because it allowed us to reposition for what we believed was coming in the future. Mm-hmm. So I do agree with that. We want to look at the long term of this, but we are very acutely aware of what's going on in the environment. Sure. Our head's not in the sand. We know, hey, technology stock may be a good place to be. We're aware that people are working from home. What does that mean financially?
Yep.
What type of companies would support that? And we can position correctly.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure I clarified to individuals to understand that we believe in understanding what we own. We know why we own it, mm-hmm. and why we should continue to invest in it. And when it gets to a place where we see a company where we're like, dude, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Your management has changed. Your focus has changed. You're beginning to support things we don't believe in. Then we are able to exit them from the scene and we'll introduce somebody new.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we do as financial advisors.
Absolutely. And investments are very calculated. And I don't just mean we pull out a calculator and figure out how much money to put in there. But what I mean is you have to be convicted about what you're investing in. I mean, at the end of the day, I am not investing my clients' money at the casino rolling dice hoping if we're going to pick a winner or pick the next best get-rich-quick scheme. It's not the case. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is we are going to look at a very calculated approach to say, okay, if I believe in a company and I believe that their outlook over the next 10 years is solid and their financials support that outlook, then I'm going to invest in that company maybe for the next 10 years.
Right.
Well, along the way, you're going to have some downturns. I mean, that's just life, right?
Yeah.
And so that company may not do perfect every single quarter for the next 40 quarters.
Right.
But if they don't, that's even better because now it's cheaper. Hopefully I can get the stock at a better value and put more money into that. My philosophy didn't change just because one company missed earnings one time,
right?
So there is a lot there. I know we're not unpacking all of it, but at the end of the day, it is very calculated. We are very much on top of what we're doing because really, again, it has a lot to do with buy, hold, rebalance. This is money that's supposed to be growth oriented for you in the future.
And I think that's why we're even titling our program today on not counting on the market to save you. Because if you're just betting on everything that's in that yellow tank, betting on that, oh, this is going to make it for me, you've got the wrong philosophy.
Yeah.
We can go into this because we know, hey, I've got savings in place. And that savings, that's what I'm going to tap into when I need it. When these companies that we were hoping would just go straight up, and we know they never do, don't go straight up. So we want to make sure that everything is completely in place.
Totally.
So I want to move a little bit down the road here because we've talked about the PEM. We've talked about there's three components in it. We've talked about the fact that people like to just focus on the yellow tank. That's the exciting one. What I would like to finish our discussion today talking about is some of the misconceptions, the false ideas that people have when it comes to investing. And again, G, I go back to that statement that people believe something and it drives their actions.
Sure.
And if we can just change the action, change the beliefs, they'll change the actions instead of just trying to say, well, you shouldn't do that. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, let's give them good, solid advice. So I want to talk a little bit about this one where, and we saw this just recently this week, that investments, they say, are the most important piece of the plan. What's your thoughts to that?
Sure. Well, I think it goes back to really what's your plan, because
investments
as the most important piece of the plan, it could be for some people, but for others, it may not be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest thing about what's most important to you, I think the most important thing is you have peace of mind, you can sleep at night and pass the pillow test, and you have confidence for every decision you're going to have to make. And so when we talk about investments, that's a big piece to that.
Right.
And so for an individual, for instance, who, you know, has really high interest rate credit cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super high debt. That person, I've seen this happen where that person is paying the minimums on their credit card payments, making sure that they're not missing payments, but then taking extra money and putting it into an investment account. In that case, I would say investments are not the most important place for you because you're going into debt at a rate of 22%. Well, if we think about the debt interest rate as a rate of return to you,
right,
if I pay that credit card off, Well, now I've earned 22%, and I'm not going to go do that in the market. Not every day, not every year. That's not guaranteed ever.
Right.
So you have to look at your situation and say, investments might be the most important piece of your plan if you're in a situation that makes sense.
Right.
For the person who maybe have high interest rate credit cards or debt in general, or even the person who is getting ready to retire and now doesn't necessarily need all of the money invested.
Mm-hmm.
Now this person needs a lot of the money accessible to them.
Right.
Investments might not be the most important thing right now because I need accessibility as I'm transitioning from leaving work.
Gee, I love that. And too often we see, because the belief is the only way to get out of this is to keep putting money in the market.
Mm.
And so they're doing it to the detriment because the credit cards are designed to entrap them, to keep them forever in debt. And if we can give people listening the freedom to know, hey, this yellow tank, the stock market, isn't the answer to everything.
Yeah.
In fact, gee, we were talking earlier today, we were talking about the fact that sometimes it takes money to make money.
For sure.
And people will say, I know you say for sure, but I don't think a lot of people realize that, because they say, here's my money. They put it in the market and they're like, okay, let's get $1 million. And they are just, it's unrealistic on their thought process with the market. And I'd like you to speak to that.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine one time literally ask me, he said, George, if I give you $1,000, how fast can it turn into $50,000?
Mm.
And I said, well, if you're counting on me to do that, I would look elsewhere, because I'm not going to guarantee any sort of anything when it comes to the world of investments. But that is a huge misconception in our world today, that if I take money, a small dollar amount, $1,000, $100, $50, and I put it into this thing called a stock or the stock market,
mm-hmm.
I can turn around 2 years later and it's going to be worth double, triple, quadruple, 10 times. That is not how the world of investments works.
Right.
Now, does that happen on a rare occasion?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it has happened.
Oh,
it
yeah.
has. And we're not saying it can't. But
and we'd be like to be the ones that it happens with, but go, keep going.
But that is more along the lines of gambling than it is investing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, when you look at this, you do have to have money to make money in the market. The market is all about percentages. I mean,
mm-hmm.
10% on $100 is a lot less than 10% on $1 million.
Right.
And so you have to think about, if I am making money in the market, it's all relative to how much money I already have in the market.
Okay, so I want to jump off that, because so many times people will come in and say, I just talked to Joe Schmo, my neighbor, and Joe Schmo, my neighbor, got X percent, and I want the same percent, and there's this comparison that goes on. Well, their neighbor might be willing to do alternative investing, maybe high risk, might be doing IPOs, might be doing all kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
but they're coming in saying, I'm conservative, I can't lose this, but I'd like a 50% return. So
yeah.
when we all
Yes.
And so
yes.
what we need to begin to understand, that when we're talking about investments, just like when we talk about the green tank, G, we all know that's not gambling. That's well thought out. That's a plan. And
mm-hmm.
we're like, that's good.
Yeah.
Then we think about investments, and all of a sudden this different hat comes on and we're like, let's take all the chances in the world. And it's like, guys, it's a calculated thought process.
Yeah.
It is what I call intentional risk.
Absolutely.
It's calculated risk of, yes, I'm willing to do this because I have all my other bases covered. If I lose it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, or I don't need to touch it until it rebounds, that type of thing. It's all thought through.
Yes.
And I would encourage our listeners, or those who are watching us on YouTube,
yep.
to understand that we need to see the whole plan that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't be comparing it to what our neighbor's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had someone just the other day, gee, they came in and they were talking to me about the return they had in their 401k. And this return, they said, is just fabulous. So I looked at the 401k and realized the return they were getting was because they were putting 10% in.
Mm-hmm.
So their account had grown by 10%. So when we
yeah.
showed it, they were like, oh. And you know what? I say that because there are a lot of people that are looking at their 401ks and saying, wow, I did pretty good there.
Yeah.
Look what I got. And a lot of it, they're not even understanding the calculations. And this isn't meant as degrading. It's just meant to say, hey, there's a lot of pieces in there when it comes to investment.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I want to talk on before we close, I know we got about 5 more minutes or
mm-hmm.
so, is I want to talk about that get rich quick silver bullet mentality.
Mm.
Now, this one is very prevalent, I don't want to say in the faith-based community, but I guess I just said it. Because the faith-based community, many times what's happened is they've lived in poverty all their life. And I see this cycle. They've lived paycheck to paycheck. Then someone comes along that has a sweetheart of a deal. They talk them into it. Then they tell all their friends about it, that God is going to use this to get them rich. He's going to bring the wealth of the unrighteous into their hands. Dun-da-da-da. And now they're rich. Yeah. But then what happens is this, G. They find out that it's a scam. They find out they all lose their money. And then they begin to doubt that Christians were ever supposed to have money in the first place. Mm. This entrenches a belief within them. See, I shouldn't have tried to have money because money's evil. And then they go through this whole thing until they're so tired of being broke that once again they begin to hope. But they're getting older in life. So now they've got to get some new stock that's going to come on, baby, get them wealthy.
Yep.
Gee, they go through this cycle over and over. And the faith-based community, because they're so loving, they're so caring. Well, some of them. Most of them. We'll just say most of them are loving and caring.
Yes, they are.
But they many times are gullible. Mm. And so someone comes along, plays on their heartstrings, tells them how much good that, you know, together we're going to change the kingdom of God, puts them into an investment that is totally wrong for their situation. They have no other savings. I've seen them mortgage their house. I've seen them empty their savings. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm getting on a soapbox because I've seen so many people do this.
Yeah.
And then they get burned and they're afraid of money. Mm. There is no reason that the faith-based community cannot have confidence with their financial decisions, that they cannot go from a poverty living paycheck to paycheck mentality into wealth creators that actually expand the kingdom of God, that we have the resources, that we buy the apartment buildings, we buy the sound studios, we buy the buildings, and people rent from us, and then we can set a standard. I'll get off my preaching now.
Amen, Pastor Crystal.
but when you think about it,
the truth of the matter is
if we can approach saving,
yeah,
investing, and protection mm-hmm. with a mentality of, Lord, help me understand how this works. Work with godly advisors. Understand it. Realize you don't have to face it alone. It's just been overcomplicated. We can break it down into simple steps. Then I think we put the tools in their hands, G, and you watch them arise.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. So over the next 5 weeks, I really want to dial in. I want to spend some time in the weeks coming up talking about what are stocks, bonds, mutual funds, mm-hmm. ETFs, all these different things that people are like, huh? Mm-hmm. I don't know what I have. Let's talk about what you have so that you can say, yeah, that's something I want to do. We can even talk about values-based investing. It's limitless what we could go over.
For sure.
But before we dive into that, have you ever, I know we talked about the silver bullet mentality and risking everything, trying to catch up because they feel that they're behind it. Mm-hmm. Have you experienced that? And then what is your experience with investors as far as timing the market and time in the market?
Sure. And I would say this, I mean, I would echo 110% everything you said. I think kingdom of God needs all the money in the world, and it's happening.
But they have to be skilled to be able to receive it and work it.
That's
Sorry.
Right. No, oh. That's right. 100%. In terms of time in the market and timing the market and mm-hmm. what we see there, you know, one of the big misconceptions I see a lot of times is, George, I don't have a lot of time. I'm 5 years out from retirement.
Yes.
And I better make all the returns possible.
Yep.
And that's unfortunately the other way around when it comes to investments. Investments carry risk, right? And the mm-hmm. riskier you get, the bigger chance of a loss. And so if you have a shorter time horizon and you need money 5 years from now versus mm-hmm. 30 years from now, you can't be as aggressive, because what if the market takes a huge hit? I ask this question all the time. If you're 2 years out from retirement and 2008 happened, what happens to you?
Yeah.
Do you work again? Do you have to keep working? Can you retire still? Like, that really matters. And time in the market is more important than timing the market.
Absolutely.
Because we can't ever time the market. It's nearly impossible to do. It's like catching a falling knife, and you most of the time get hurt trying to time the market. And so I would say it's more about, let's see how much time you have in the market, mm-hmm. whether it is a year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. Let's get the appropriate investment strategy with the right amount of risk. There can be a right amount of risk. We're going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks. And so that really matters. So that way, when you have your time in the market, it's using it the wisest way possible.
Well said. Well, we are at the end of our time together. Thank you, George, for being here with me. And I want to thank all the listeners of Crystal Clear Finances and those who are watching us on YouTube. I want to invite you to join us again next week so that you continue to gain the clarity needed so you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless.
This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.